looking forward to what God's going to do in this house today. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I come expecting God to do something among us. Amen. Amen. We must have an expectancy, because that's what gets the attention of God, is when we expect Him to be God, to be more than what we are. Amen. Praise God. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings, the 11th chapter. I'm going to begin at verse 1. Read out of the New Living Translation. Follow along in your version. Now King Solomon loved many foreign women, besides Pharaoh's daughter, he married women from Moab, Ammon, Edom, Sidon, and from among the Hittites. The Lord had clearly instructed the people of Israel, "You must not marry them, because they will turn your hearts to their gods." Yet Solomon insisted on loving them anyway, and he had 700 wives, poor man, a royal birth, and 300 concubines. And in fact, they did turn his heart away from the Lord. In Solomon's old age, they turned his heart to worship other gods instead of being completely faithful to the Lord his God. And his father David had been Solomon worshipped Ashtaroth, the goddess of Sidonians, and Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. In this way, Solomon did what was evil in the Lord's sight, and he refused to follow the Lord completely. And his father David, like his father David had done, in the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem, he even built a pagan shrine for Chemosh, and the detestable god of Moab, and another for Molech, and detestable god of the Ammonites. Solomon built such shrines for all his foreign wives to use for burning incense and sacrificing their gods. The Lord was very angry with Solomon, for his heart was turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. He was warned, Solomon, specifically about worshiping other gods, but Solomon did not listen to the Lord's command. Praise God. Lord, we thank you today, Lord, that we have your word that speaks to us, and help us, Lord, to, God, not get within ourselves too wise to follow that word, Lord Jesus, but help us to be humble and hear the voice that you are calling to us with, and let your spirit speak to our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's talk today about the last mile of the way. Amen. Many of us here in this room today, most all of us, have had a walk with God most of our lives, and have been running the race. Amen. We must not let the last mile of the way become tainted by the desires of the world. Amen. We must keep God in our lives paramount to anything else. Amen. Having God's word to continue guide us, and be humble to it. Amen. Make sure that we can hear the still small voice of God even now, after we've walked for so long with him, and we really know everything about living for God. Don't allow the things of this world to steal away your last time, your moments here on earth. Amen. None of us have hope for tomorrow. Amen. We don't know what tomorrow brings. Today may be your last on this earth. So I pray today that you can keep walking the last today as if it's your last. Amen. So what would cause a wise person to backslide? What would cause that? Amen. It happens. Amen. Some can in their very last moments of life can walk away from God. Looking on forbidden things can cause us to backslide. We can get our minds off the simplicity of the gospel and begin to look on things that God does not desire us to see. And we can lose hope and we can backslide. Amen. Never think that you're above failing. That's where Saul got in trouble. He thought that he could never fail. Amen. You are a moment away from making the wrong decision. We can mess up in self-management. When you don't have a man of God in your life to speak to you and to warn you, a watchman on the wall in your life, but your life is run by yourself, just you and God. Granted, you need that relationship with God, but God has a way that he has given us to follow, and that's by having men in your life that can speak into your life. Don't get lost in self-management and think that you can do this by yourself, because God's going to ask some questions when you get to heaven. Amen. I believe everybody's going to go there, because the Bible talks about a time when we are in judgment and we stand before the seat of God, and he will say, either well done or I never knew you. So when people say we're all going to heaven, yeah, we're all going to have our day before the throne room of God. Doesn't mean everybody's going to stay there. Amen. We need today to make sure that we are allowing others to work in our lives to perfect our walk with God. Amen. Don't do it on your own. We need to be careful to take undue liberties. Amen. Well, I've done this all my life. I can do what I want. No, you can't. Don't be self-confident. Amen. Don't do these things and get so caught up in yourself that you miss the still small voice of God speaking into your life. Resisting separation and holiness. Amen. Don't allow separation and holiness. You know, don't resist that in your life. When you were baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, you decided that you were going to walk the life of a Christian. Amen. That means I'm going to click off the ways of the world, and I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. Being separate from everyone else. That's what that being born again, you're not the same person that you once were. You buried that old man. Amen. Now you're going to follow Christ's commands. Now you're going to obey the word of God that speaks to us. And if you don't get in that word and read it, you won't know what it says. But that doesn't excuse our lives being separate from the world. Amen. Again, one day, it could be tomorrow, you're going to have to be, God's going to ask you some questions. Have you followed my commands to come out from among them. Who's them? The world, the people that obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those are who is the world. They don't follow the doctrine of Peter and John and all the disciples. They don't follow that doctrine. They are considered the world. So we must not look like them. We must not act like them. We must not talk like them. They need to know that we are separate. You could tell a Jew coming from miles away by how they dressed, what they looked like, the way they presented themselves. That's how we as born again apostolics need to shine the light that is, it's a condition of the heart is what it is. Amen? Because what's on the inside will present itself on the outside. Amen? I must find my way in the scriptures to understand separation and holiness. It's not a church mandate. The church isn't up here twisting your arm to do this. Amen? I'm going to preach it. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to lead you to it. But ultimately, you have to decide, am I going to walk this way? Amen? Am I going to follow the scripture and separate myself from being like the world? That's your choice. Amen? That's your life to follow. Amen? But I am going to tell you that you will have to give an account in your life one day. Why you weren't separate? Why you thought you could just skate by doing your own thing your own way? Amen? So it's important. Sometimes we don't like to follow things that are taught from the Word of God. But I'm telling you, you will be blessed. Amen. And your last mile can be a magnificent time in the Lord. Amen. So don't get lost. Don't get a critical spirit in your last few moments in life living for God. Amen. Don't get occupied with the cares of this life, because these are things that can steal what we've lived for so long and what we've strived to perfect in our lives. Solomon was one of the wisest men on the planet and to this day. But because of his unwillingness to allow Christ, to allow God in his life and be humbled by the word of God that was being warned to him, he walked away and allowed things that he knew was not right in his life. And by that, he lost out. More than riches and more than worldly activity. Amen. We have to keep our face before the Lord. We must realize one day we're going to see him face to face. That, my friend, is going to be worth it all. Amen. No worldly, anything that you can imagine this world has to offer is going to be worth seeing Jesus Christ face to face. Amen. The one that died for you, the one that cares for you on a daily basis. That, my friend, is going to be worth more than anything in this world. More than the least little thing that you have struggled with to give up, to be separate from the world. That is going to be worth everything. Mark 10:17 says, good teacher, be asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? This man wanted reassurance that he had eternal life. He really was not expecting to be asked to give anything up. God really wasn't trying to take everything he earned away. But because Jesus was God, he could see the heart of this man. And he knew that those riches that he has had was everything to him. He was literally wanting him to realize who God was in his life. We cannot allow things of this life to become our God. Riches and wealth and all the things that keep us. We rely upon those things more than our God. That can become God to you. Just like this young man. His love was temporal. Possessions eclipsed his love for eternal truth. We must not get caught up in trying to make another dollar and allowing the things of God to go by the way, because it's more important to get another $20 on our paycheck. So it's not important to come to church and be fed of the Word of God. We must be careful to guard the things of God in our life and not allow these things to get in our heart. Amen? Because it can very well easily happen. We get comfortable in life. Amen? We get blessed. We've been around a while. We've learned how to save and how to, you know. But then we can become dependent on God's blessings and forget God. We must guard ourselves and not allow those things to reign in us. He often only one thing is lacking in a person's life that keeps him or her from being saved. That one thing turns out to be the great love that competes with eternal values. Don't allow your worldly possessions to steal what is God's. He wants your undivided attention. Amen? God is desiring you and nothing else. He will never be satisfied with partial commitment. Jesus said, you're either hot or you're cold. He don't like any of this in-between stuff. It sickens him. It causes him to vomit. When you're in that condition, you're either in it or you're not. Amen? There is no in-between with God. Amen? Get hot or get cold. That's what God would rather in your life. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So don't you get it tonight, today? If God is first in us, all them other things will come. All the things that you're striving for, that you really think you need, God says he would give those things to you if he's first, if he's paramount in your life. Nothing else matters but him. He's going to give you everything. The rich young ruler went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. that stuff meant more to him than knowing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and having a relationship with him. He thought he was living right. He thought he was doing all that he needed to do, but Jesus saw something lacking in him because his possessions had become more than anything in his life. And he wanted that more than anything in the world. Matthew 13, 44, it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field again. And the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for the fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it." Amen. If you could get a hold of what you have possessed today and really understand, you've got an amazing treasure that you've bought into. Amen. This thing is going to bring you greater riches than any world has ever known. Amen. What you desire right here on earth, you're going to walk on in heaven. Amen. That's going to be under your feet. Those beauties and those treasures, those pearls and all of those things will be in your crown. Amen. Not only the fact that you get to walk daily with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Never having to worry about being overcome by sin anymore, because we have been changed. We don't have to fear, amen, making a wrong decision anymore. Amen. We're going to be like the angels of heaven. Amen. It's worth waiting. Amen. It's worth letting go of all this worldly pleasure. I mean, just hold up what you're holding back to God. Just hold it up to those things that we're going to take pleasure in one day. Does it really measure up? Is it really worth holding on to and missing out in eternity with Jesus Christ? The alternative is not any better. Flames of fire. Remembering all the times you were in the house of God and never being able to grasp them opportunities ever again because of the little thing that you kept holding on to and wouldn't separate yourself from the world and wouldn't allow your life to be changed by the miraculous power of Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you today, hold on. Get rid of the things that hold you back from being sold out to nothing less than Jesus Christ and His love. Amen? It's worth it all. It is worth it all. There's no substitutes for faithfulness. Amen? Zeal will not do. Amen? You got to be faithful. Jehu was a man known for zeal, but his zeal was insufficient to win the heart of God. He had zeal for the Lord, but the zeal was disconnected from the source of real devotion. Knowing God personally, knowing God, talking with God, listening to His voice, reading His word, understanding His word. Don't allow your zeal to take the place of intimacy with Jesus Christ. In fact, when the watchman saw him coming, he could tell who it was by the reckless way he drove his chariot. In 2 Kings 9:20, the driving is like that of Jehu, son of Nimshi. He drives like a madman. Second Kings 10:11 says, so Jehu killed everyone in Jezreel who remained on the house of Ahab, as well as all his chief men, his close friend, his priest, leaving him no survivor. But when measured with God's scale, he was found lacking. 2 Kings 10:30, it says, the Lord said to Jehu, because you have done well in accomplishing what is right in my eyes and have done to the house of Ahab all I had in mind to do, your descendants will sit on the throne of Israel to the fourth generation. Yet Jehu was not careful to keep the law of the Lord and God of Israel with all his heart. He did not turn away from the sin of Jeroboam, which he had caused Israel to commit. If we have a real zeal behind the wheel, we will end up lacking. Amen. Have more than a desire. Walk in the power that God has given us. Amen. Make sure that doing God's work and the things of God are more important to you than anything else in your life. It must be you and Jesus. Amen. You and Jesus. Get a hold of what he has given us today. Tongues are not enough. Amen. Speaking in other tongues is very vitally important. That's how you know you have entered the kingdom of God. That's a sign from God. You've received his spirit. The initial evidence. That's the initial evidence of being born into his kingdom. That's important. 1 Corinthians 14:39 says, therefore, brothers, be eager to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues builds up you yourself spiritually. Amen. That's why you need it. Amen. When you get lost in the Spirit and you're totally surrendered in the Holy Ghost, when you come away from that, your spiritual life is built up. You're strengthened. Amen. It after those moments, after those times, it's like you fear nothing because you've just allowed the Spirit of God to be real in your life. 1 Corinthians 4:4 says, he who speaks in tongues edifies himself. It's a great thing. It builds you up. It edifies you. It strengthens you. So that's one of the reasons Paul said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. He understood that this was an empowering thing in his life, and he let it work in his life. That was 1 Corinthians 4:18. That's when Paul spoke that. I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than y'all. He got it. But tongues are insufficient if no fruit is produced. Amen? if you continually have not advanced from your experience in the Holy Ghost from when you were born again, and nothing else has changed in your life, amen, you haven't done anything with the power that God has given you, amen, and you haven't influenced anybody's life with this thing, what good has tongues done you? Because you refuse to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and allow yourself to separate yourself from worldly things. You're just as lost as everyone else. You must advance in the kingdom and allow your spirit to be changed and fruit begin to grow in your life. Amen. Anybody that knows anything about growing fruit, there's a lot of things you have to do to the tree to get it to grow really good things. It requires a lot of cutting. If you've ever raised an apple tree, when you cut that thing back to where it looks like it's going to die, that, my friend, is a tree that's going to produce really beautiful fruit. You have to spray. You have to kill off all the things that would try to invade that fruit. Just like living for God. You've got to allow somebody to cut some things off your life that you may think is glorifying God or doing the right thing. But when you allow that cutting to happen in your life, you are pruned by the Word of God, by the man of God, and allowed to be cut the bad things off. Your fruit can grow and become beautiful in the sight of the Lord that is wanting fruit to grow in your life. Don't just come and get a tongue experience once a week. Amen. Allow the Holy Ghost to speak in your life daily. Amen. Get a hold of the things of God. Get a hold of that power. You let that power change you. Amen. Some people do that. They come in and they just have an experience and they just want to know God is near. And he's there if I need him. And they go back out into the world for another season. And then later on they come back in. Oh, I just need to feel that presence again. Just so I know he's there. You're being tricked by the world. An outdated experience is not enough. If it's been 30 years since you've had a Holy Ghost experience, it's time. Amen. You need a renewing of the Holy Ghost. The five foolish virgins had allowed their experience in God to grow stale. They let it become just a thing. It wasn't important. Amen. Having a Holy Ghost anointing upon your life is like the priest that had to keep the fire burning. He wanted it never to go out. Amen. This thing is like a fire, the Bible says. Shut up in our bones. Amen. That fire, if not maintained and not allowed to breathe, will go out. If you're snuffing it out with things of the world in your life, those things that we talked about, separation from the world, can be like a wet blanket on your fire. Amen? You wonder why you can't get deliverance, because you won't separate yourself from the world. That's a choice, my friend. It's a choice that I am going to live for Jesus Christ. And when you make that choice, and you have determined nothing will separate me, you'll become more like him. You will embrace being different from the world. It's a wonderful thing when you've sold out everything and you're 100% given to God's good pleasure. Then God will do mighty things in your life. If we're not sold out, in Matthew 25:12, it says, I tell you the truth, I don't know you. You don't ever want to hear those words from Jesus. Get to know him. Amen. Let him be Lord of your life. Don't let down on the last mile. Amen. This thing's worth running for. Amen. This thing's worth holding out for. There are a lot of things that will attract us, our flesh. So we must consistently remain on guard. Amen. There's never a time in your life where you just need to sit back and just coast for a while. Because the enemy never gives up. The enemy never tires of chasing and coming after you and trying to tempt you and trying to get you to fail. He's relentless. So you can't sit back and allow your fire to grow dim. Amen. Stay in the fold. Stay in the pack. Amen. Allow God's love and power and anointing to be just as real as when you first met him. It ought to be greater now than when you first believed. Amen. Because you're growing, you're understanding more, you're getting more knowledge. Amen. There's so much of God that you'll never get tired of knowing more. Amen. It's when you stop allowing your life to be affected by the things of God is when you're in trouble. When you stop hearing the voice of God because you've got this thing figured out. You know how to act. You know how to do. You know how to, and God has been left by the wayside. Don't ever allow yourself to get there. Amen. It could cost your soul, and souls in your family. Amen. Remember, somebody's hanging on you. Somebody's watching you. Somebody is being led by you. Amen. Are you sold out? Are you determined to make it the last mile? Amen. I'm going to hold out to the end. Amen. I'm going to walk and hear the voice of God and allow it to be real in my soul and in my spirit. Amen. God, speak to us today. Help somebody here today to give it all to you. Because like I said, take what you're holding on to and hold it up to the things of God. Not what you see now. Because obviously if you're holding on to something, you're not seeing your eternity with Jesus Christ. Amen? Friend, there is going to be an eternity. You are going to spend that either with him, or where he didn't want anybody to go. Hell was not created for you. Amen? And we have the choice not to go there. Heaven stands as an open gate before us. Amen? With welcoming arms. No one but ourselves can keep us from going there. We used to sing that song, I am determined to hold out to the end. Jesus is with me, on him I will depend. For I know I have salvation, for I feel it in my soul. I am determined to hold out to the end. Are you determined today? Or is this world worth holding on to? Amen. Make a choice. Amen. See what God can do in your life. I'm telling you, He will give you the desires of your heart. But he wants to see that you're determined and sold out. God, I'm going to make it. Revelation 3:11 says, I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. Amen. What you're holding on to is not worth the crown. What you're holding on to is not worth that first glimpse of heaven in Jesus Christ. I'm telling you today, rid some things in your life and let Jesus Christ be Lord. Nothing else. Amen. And you will make it the very last mile. Amen. God bless you. Take a few moments. Amen. Refresh yourselves. And let's come back and let's have a Holy Ghost anointed powerful move of God today. Because I really believe God wants to give you what you need today. God bless you.